Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch. Welcome, everyone. Got another great show for you today. We're going to do some what I call insight-oriented suggestions. Keep in mind, you and I don't have a therapeutic relationship, per se. What I do is offer you great suggestions and ideas on how to make your life better, especially with my super guests. And, of course, today is no exception. We're going to be talking about Roy Nelson in just a little bit. He's written another book. Superstar. Been there, done that. The guy is such an inspiration and has helped so many people, and I'm so happy to have him on again. By the way, if you would like to call in, if you have a question or comment or anything, you can do so for my guest, Roy, or myself. The number here is 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815. Are you shy? You want to get your voice on the air? Don't want to do that, but want to reach out to my guest or have a question? Of course, you can contact me right here at the station. It's a Gmail. straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. Email me, let me know what's up, and I will be happy to help you. And or my guest will be happy to help you. And we're going to be talking about a whole bunch of stuff, you know, today. But let me ask you some questions, first of all, guys. Do you avoid uncomfortable feelings, or do you have a tendency to avoid uncomfortable feelings? Now, I don't mean to sound like, you know, one of those commercials for antidepressants to start off the show or anything, but, you know, many people accept that life is filled with ups and downs. And, of course, we don't prefer to have only the ups, but many of us take the downs in stride, right? But I always say that we couldn't appreciate the ups if we didn't have the contrast of the downs. Wouldn't happen. But many of us hate feeling anything uncomfortable. We'll do anything to avoid it, right? Unfortunately, escaping uncomfortable feelings by indulging in whatever addictions or negative habits, and I'm talking about emotional habits too, is ultimately unhealthy and unproductive, and it can be lethal. You know, whether it's alcohol, drugs, food, drama, the list goes on. We're going to find out more about that list in a little bit. We sometimes use these things to push down our depression and our anxiety and dissatisfaction. Can't say the word. Is that Freudian? I don't want to say it. It's too scary. The dissatisfaction with our lives. And, of course, the biggie. What's the biggie, guys? Come on. Give it to me. What is it? Yes. Guilt. Oh, my God. It comes from beating ourselves up for things we should or could have done. We should have. We get a lot of our guilt from our upbringing. Okay, here comes the spoiler alert. Blaming mommy and daddy. So don't get me any letters or nasty stuff. Let's get with it here. Most of us don't come from perfect homes. We just don't. Some families we lived in had more drama than others. It's just the way it is. Some of us were emotionally or physically abused. Some of us were brought up by parents or relatives who were addicted to alcohol or other drugs or projected their problems onto us. And we were just little people waiting to be loved. That's all we wanted. So whether it was relatives who were unkind, humiliated us, you know, abused us, or bullies at school, or relationships who hurt us so badly, many of us are stunted emotionally. We really are. And we're unhappy you know, with a lot of stuff going on in our lives. We all have a deep connection for craving and love. Come on, we all do. We're not born just tough guys going, okay. Right? I remember an old joke that I used to see, and this is really dating me, but my parents used to watch this comedy show, and there was this old comedian named Phyllis Diller, and she talked about her first child being born, how wild and crazy that child was, and she said, he came down the chute with a cocktail in his hand and said, all right, who's running things? So we don't really do that. We just come into the, who's running things here? Let's get started. Life, you know. We all come into this world really wanting love and nourishment and being taken care of and all that stuff, feeling safe, feeling like we can trust others. But, you know, many times from our troubled past, we don't really learn how to have real relationships with people because we weren't given them. You know, whoever the caregivers were, again, could be a relative, could be foster parents, could be real parents, biologically, whatever. And sometimes we can't see what our negative habits are doing to us, only what they're doing for us. In other words, we think they enable us to do more and be more. But actually what's going on here is we're in denial about the toll that they're really taking on our bodies. And that's including our psyche, of course. Our bodies are our psyche. You know, whether we're damaging our livers with alcohol or our brain chemistry with other substances, things like that, you know, it's all one and the same. And, of course, it takes a toll on our relationships. Why can't I have a decent relationship? I have so many clients who come in to see me and say, I never can have a decent relationship. I always pick the bad guys, or I always pick the bad girls, those emotional, crazy women. Why can't I pick someone normal? What is normal anyway? I don't know. But somebody who doesn't cause a lot of chaos in our lives or give us mixed messages or make us sad or anxious or whatever. You know, so I get a lot of that. And it's because we never really learned how to form a lot of our own relationships. You know, we never really learned how to take care of our finances. We never learned how to take care of ourselves sometimes. We never learned how to take care of our inner being, just who we are, because we weren't taught that we deserved it. We weren't nourished enough. And what's happening today is we're going to be talking about the power that we all have within us to tap into that, which can free us from any of these things. You know, I mean, there are so many things we can do to really help ourselves. A lot of people come to me and I tell them to just still their mind a little bit or write down things that really are positive in their lives. Write down the names and situations and circumstances with people who were positive influences in your life. And focus on those. Those are the things that'll make you feel better. Don't focus on the lack you have or what a horrible life. Yeah, of course we can't deny that. They're all embedded in memories. But sometimes what we have to do is keep reaffirming. What we're doing here, guys, is we're building new thought patterns. The neurons are building new thought patterns. And that's what's happening here. So, you know, I just want you to know that you can do these things. You can take care of yourself. And if you're having problems with relationships, if you're having problems with substances, you know, you keep hurting yourself. You don't really know how to, you know, get out of this cycle. What you can do is you can really work on yourself. There's a whole slew of, as we call them, cognitive tools. That means mindfulness tools. Think about how you think. Change up some of those programming things that you have going on. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. So what you do is you want to change the thought processes that you have. You want to change those things up. And that's what it's about. So I'm just trying to help you out here, guys. So if you have any questions or comments about, you know, things going on in your life or relationship issues or anything that you want to talk about, please feel free to give me a call here. The number is 323-203-0815. If you're avoiding something or you need some help with a relationship or something going on, I'd love to hear from you. That number again is 323-203-0815. Or as I said earlier, you can contact me on Straight Talk Doc, S-T-R-A-I-G-H tree. Like straight talking here, Straight Talk Doc at gmail.com. And, you know, I'd love to hear from you and what you have to say. All right. And also, you can ask my special guest any questions you may have. We'd love to hear from you on that as well. We're going to bring him up on the air right now. And just to give you a little heads up, my special guest again is Roy Nelson. He's known as the last resort for those of you who really can't stop your self-destructive habits. Over 35 years, Roy cracked the code. And his own addictive personality, and he developed the Nelson Method. It's a plan of spiritual healing, and it's designed to help folks heal from their own personal hell, even when all other approaches have failed. So today we're talking to him about his latest book. It's called Love Notes from Hell. I love to say that. Hey, Roy, how you doing today? Can you hear me okay? Hello, Roy. I think he's here. Roy, are you there on the air with me? Can you hear me? All right, I'm going to have him call back again. All right, we're going to pull him back up, try to make sure that he gets on the line with us here. Pull his monitor up. Okay, we're good to go. So call me back, Roy, 323-203-0815. By the way, we are also talking about the Nelson Method, which he developed. And, you know, there are five pillars to his Nelson Method, which he talks about. And what he's going to do is he's unraveling these pillars, which, you know, sort of step by step are going to help you work through your issues and, you know, get to a healthier place. Let's try this again, see if we can pull him up on the air live. Hey, Roy, there you are. How you doing today?
I'm good. I was there, but you couldn't hear me. I'm sorry.
Oh, no worries. I think we got the engineer in here and handle things, and we're good to go.
All right, good. Well, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate you. I really enjoy being on your show.
Hey, Roy, it's always a pleasure to have you on my show. And, hey, kudos on your new book, man. What a great read. Love Notes from Hell. I love saying that, by the way. Love
that
Notes
is a good
from Hell.
I don't take credit for the title.
You got to make a movie, man. You got to do that. You got to sell that.
Yeah.
So, you know, the whole thing is that I was talking about you and your story, which is fascinating. That's why I say you got to make a movie, man. But you're an addiction survivor, and you speak regularly about your journey from hell, and I think listeners would be fascinated to hear a little bit about your own story. So can you kind of share what led you to do the work that you're doing today?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Well, you know, first off, personally, I'm a completely hopeless case. I mean, I suffered from so, you know, I almost died at birth. I always had almost died at birth and kind of went downhill from there.
Oh, Roy.
I almost suffocated. I had to, you know, back in my day, I was born at home and they had a midwife there, but I was born with a cord around my neck and I was suffocating.
Yeah.
The doctor finally got there, but they tell me I was turning blue and everything else and somehow.
Yeah.
But of course, naturally, I mean, I had a lot of other trauma in my childhood, but somehow I've been afraid my entire life. I mean, I was, you know, from the very beginning, I can remember being always afraid, you know, and I'm very sensitive, and I grew up in a tough place, and I wasn't very tough, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I was constantly looking for some relief, you know, so I, from the very beginning, I mean, as far back as I can remember, I was always fantasizing. I was always worrying.
Oh, yeah.
I was always fantasizing about something, usually sex. And
yeah.
And of course, I from the time I found my penis, I mean, I was obsessed with sex forever, long before I knew what sex was.
Yeah.
And of course, food. I was always looking for some relief from food. You know, I was always. I was way more interested in food than most kids probably are.
Right.
So I started smoking cigarettes when I was about 12. I worked from the time I was a little kid. I grew up in poverty in Texas.
And oh, man.
So I always worked from the time I was a little kid. And so I just kind of was... I grew up in a lot of ways, to be responsible and to be, to try to survive in this world. But I wasn't emotionally growing because I was medicating. I used cigarettes. I used food.
Yeah.
And I grew up in an alcoholic home. I didn't think I'd ever drink until I drank.
Yes.
I realized what a drink could do for a fellow like me.
Sure.
A fellow who was so shy and self-absorbed. And, I left home when I was 14, and of course, I was always working with guys, people who were older than me. The first women I were with were a lot older than me, and the guys I worked with were a lot older than me. And I went to the military the day I was 17.
Wow.
And then I got married when I was just shy of 21, so I married a woman who had a child, and then we had a little boy, and then we had twin boys, so before I was 23, I was a father of four.
My goodness.
The good thing I had big shoulders back in those days, because I needed them,
My
God.
Oh, yeah.
So I got out of the Army when I was 24, and, I had put on about 80 pounds when I was in the Army.
Yeah.
And then I got into, once again, I was working with guys older than me. I finally, found something I could make a living at, and I got very obsessed with money and earning and working one thing and another. And so by the time I was 28 years old, I was making the rounds of psychiatrists for phobias and panic attacks and, one thing and another like that. So I made the rounds of the doctors for a few years, and then ultimately... I couldn't get where I needed to go through those means. I often thought, I had so much early crazy religion in my childhood that I thought, man, I walked away from that stuff. But I will tell you that by the time I came to a place where I was going to die, I was 32 years old.
Wow.
I was 275 pounds. I was completely dependent on alcohol. The last several years I drank, I used alcohol as a medication. I had a bag of pills. I didn't like pills, but I had them in case I needed them, right? There was a time there where I used to hire a doctor, a registered nurse, to travel with me so they could give me IVs of Valium or sodium pentothal if the terror got too bad. I drove big cars, chased fast women, smoked cigarettes. I mean, anything you could do to get relief, that's what I did.
Live the fast
But ultimately, ultimately, all of it stopped working for me. If it had still, if alcohol had still worked for me, I'd still be using it. What I mean? It stopped working.
That's
when I was driven to find a spiritual solution.
You just kind of hit bottom. That was it.
I had to hit bottom, and that was only the beginning. I mean, there I was, 32 years old.
Jeez. Yeah.
275 pounds. I was a father, a husband, a homeowner, a businessman, a veteran, and I had the emotional development of an infant. That's where I had to start from.
Wasn't quite. Oh man! But you like you said, thank God you were young. You had broad shoulders, but you finally hit the bottom and really, got it together.
Yeah.
And you healed from your emotional issues. Like many types of addictions. Just a quick question. Thanks, by the way, for sharing that story. It's so wonderful, I think, for listeners to hear, people really come clean and really become honest and open about their past because they learn, too. And they learn, hey, wait a minute. You know what? I think I need to share this, too, with somebody, and I need to get some help. But besides being addicted, to alcohol and food and, you said, other substances, what are some of the other addictions that folks may have that they may not be aware of, Roy?
Well, the thing is, none of us like to think we're addicted. I say I was dying from this condition.
Right.
And I really didn't relate to being an alcoholic or a compulsive eater or, a sex addict. I didn't relate to any of it. Because I kind of spread them around, I guess.
Right.
But there's a lot of very socially acceptable addictions and obsessions and compulsions, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, who criticizes anybody for, I mean, other than their family, for working too hard or being too, you know, I mean, you know, there's, you know, fitness and exercise and, you know, of course, naturally, you know, drugs and alcohol and food and sex and, you know, there's a lot of people who are very, who are not suffering outwardly from any addiction, but are very unhappy. They might be very successful.
Sure.
See, for me, that's the way it was for me when, I mean, I suffered from other, you know, addictions and things, but for me, the real heartbreak, see, I was convinced when I got out of the Army, if I made a lot of money, I mean, from the time I was always, if I had enough money and enough sex, I'd be happy.
Yes, right.
You know,
right.
But, you know, the truth is, that's not true.
Yeah,
that's not true. I mean,
exactly.
You know, so for me,
right.
You know, I mean, I never got enough. I mean, with making money, no matter how much you get,
right.
It's no longer what you thought would be enough
to
make you feel secure.
Right,
doesn't
right.
make you, so you, so it's something else, it's something else, it's something else. And,
right.
Of course, with the sex thing, I mean, what I say, blind hog find an acorn once in a while, but I, you know, there's no such thing as enough of anything on the outside.
That's it, right.
To make us feel secure on the inside.
Yeah. Got to come from the inside, doesn't it, Roy?
It's got to come from the inside.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And that's what you do, is you help people really go down deep and discover what they've got going on inside so they can bring it up and be okay with that and overcome a lot of their addictions, all of their addictions and things like that. By the way, in case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle. My special guest today is Roy Nelson. You've heard him here before on the couch. He's an amazing guy. He's helped so many people overcome their addictions and personal issues. His latest book we're talking about today is Love Notes from Hell. And I love it. Roy developed the Nelson Method. It's a plan of spiritual healing. But it is, you know, it's not all airy-fairy, Roy. It's a straightforward, come on down, let's get within it and get yourself stronger kind of stuff.
Very practical. Yeah,
yes, very practical. A lot. Because I think a lot of people shy when I say spiritual. But it's not about that, guys. It's about, let's keep it real and talk about what life's about and you know, the worthwhile things we need to think about in our lives instead of the stuff out there. Now, what in your opinion, and you just shared with us a lot of your own personal stuff going on. So what in your opinion are many of the causes of why we turn to, you know, alcohol, sex, drugs, over, you know, whatever it is, food, shopping, whatever. Why do we do that?
Well, I just want to revisit the spiritual thing real briefly, if you don't mind.
Please do.
That's, when we're talking about spiritual, we're talking about your higher self.
Yeah.
So we're not talking about some bearded man in the sky with a clipboard.
That's right.
We're talking about getting in touch with that sweet spirit that resides deep within every human being.
Yes.
But, you know, the thing is with addictions and obsessions and compulsions, and you know, they're essentially, every addiction has three components. Number one, it's a painkiller.
Yep.
Number two, it's a form of escape. Mm-hmm. Number three, it's a form of punishment. You see, so, and as you well know, doctor, I mean, the thing is, every, you see, as long as I had the psychic pain, the childhood pain that I was carrying, then I was going to I was always going to crave painkillers. No, then I don't mean drugs, necessarily drugs, but could be drugs, but could be food, sex, alcohol, any kind of relief. Mm-hmm. See, there's a lot of things that'll give you relief that'll keep you from getting recovery. So, but anyway, so as long as I had the pain, I was going to require the painkiller. Mm-hmm. As long as I was afraid, I was going to require escape.
Yeah.
And as long as I had the guilt,
yeah,
because I don't have the power to be the kind of person I want to be, and I am very sensitive to feeling bad about things, feeling bad about myself.
Yeah.
As long as I had the guilt, I was going to require punishment.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You see, what I'm about, see, I don't really treat the addiction. The addiction falls away. In my experience, it's whatever it is, they all fall away almost instantaneously, the first day or so. But the thing is, when we start facing, when a person feels safe enough to face that pain and face those fears and face that guilt, then it can be overcome.
You know,
totally
exactly.
Totally by grace, sweet loving grace, but it can be overcome.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think so. And you said, you know, the every addiction has the painkiller aspect and the escape aspect and also the punishment. I mean, why do we punish ourselves? What's up with that?
Well, because people like me are very sensitive. We you know, and I have felt as much guilt over things that I have thought and felt as I have over things I've actually done or said. Now, don't get me wrong. I've done and said plenty to feel bad about in my life. But I'm saying to you, I have felt as much guilt and remorse over things I've felt or things I've thought.
Yeah.
You know, because we're just, people like me are very sensitive, overly fearful, abnormally fearful, overly sensitive. Extremely sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so we hurt deeply and we get wounded deeply. We hate deeply. We love deeply. We, you know, we just feel deeply.
Yeah. Yeah, we sure do. We feel so deeply. That's what we need, honey. That's right. My gosh.
Yeah.
You know, we come into this world as little innocent souls just kind of looking out there saying, okay, come on. Okay, just nourish me, love me. That's all we want.
Yeah.
You know? So, and you know, with, of course, a lot of the addictions that we talk about, you know, comes, as you said, like the panic disorder.
Yeah.
You know, there's the phobias and the fears. They all go together.
Yeah. All hand in hand.
You know, they're all hand in hand. And then the worse these things get, the more we have to sort of self-medicate.
Absolutely.
You know, with food and things like that. So.
No, I used it all. I mean, the last several years I drank, I used alcohol as a medication.
Yes.
And naturally everything else I used too, but I mean, you know, the overeating went without saying. I just, that's what I did. But the thing is, I consciously, you know, the doctors would prescribe tranquilizers, and I had a bag of tranquilizers and stuff, but I didn't like it. It made you drowsy and made you feel, you know, lethargic and stuff like that, but alcohol for me was a miracle drug, you know. What I mean, but my primary concern on a daily basis was that I was going to get captured and locked up someplace where they didn't serve alcohol, you know, because I drove drunk several nights a week, you know.
Yeah.
But I had to have alcohol.
Yeah,
exactly. And I called myself having a good time with it, but it wasn't a good time toward the end. I mean, it was just survival, you know.
Yeah, exactly. It sure was. Exactly. By the way, guys, in case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle. My special guest today is Roy Nelson. You've heard him on the show before because he's such an interesting, terrific, wonderful, helpful man. And he's got a great couple of books out. And, of course, he teaches the Nelson Method. His latest book we're talking about today is Love Notes from Hell. And it's really spiritual healing. It's a great book, a step-by-step. And also, he shares a lot of his own journey that's really designed to help you heal from your own personal hell, basically, when all other approaches have failed. I invite you to call in or write in if you guys have any questions for Roy, you have any issues you want to discuss. The number here is 323-203-0815. Or, of course, you can email me right here. It's straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. So let's talk about the Nelson Method that you developed.
Okay.
You know, let's you know, of course, we can admit there are great things about the 12-step programs, AA, and, you know, all that NA, but you and I have talked about this before, that sometimes there are folks in these programs who, in spite of their best efforts, they kind of fall through the cracks, and they don't solve their addiction problems.
So, it's so true, doctor. You know, it's so true. You know, and it's so sad. It's so tragic because, you know, and let me just say this up front. I mean, Alcoholics Anonymous has helped more alcoholics stop drinking than any other single movement in the history of the world. So I'm not in any way ever, I'm not ever cutting on anybody. I'm not in competition with anybody.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing is, my dear sister Patty, for example, was the matriarch of the North Sacramento group of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Oh, wow.
She had 35 years sober.
Ooh,
but the little darling, she never got on her feet financially.
Yeah.
She died from lung cancer because she smoked cigarettes forever.
Aww.
You know, I mean, the founder, Mr. Bill Wilson, you know, he had a long life and very, God bless him, thank for all he did. But, you know, they rolled him on the stage into the International Convention of Alcoholics Anonymous in 1970.
Yeah.
They rolled him on the stage with a wheelchair because he had emphysema. He had a breathing apparatus on one side of the chair and a cigarette in the hand, in his other hand.
Whoa.
You know, I mean, yeah. And little darling, and he tried forever to stop, and I'm not criticizing him. I'm standing on his shoulders, okay? I'm not in any way, you know, criticizing him at all.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's an insidious, insidious condition.
Yeah.
And, you know, generally speaking, you know, generally speaking, alcoholics think alcohol is their problem.
Yeah.
Compulsive eaters think food is their, or people with eating disorder think food is their problem.
Yeah.
Sex addicts, but whatever. But see, the thing is, they even though the 12-step programs talk, you know, about going deeper and stuff like that, but unfortunate thing is, most people believe if they get control of the addiction, everything will be okay.
Right, exactly.
You see what I mean?
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
The truth is, everything's not okay.
No.
And this is why just recently, you know, Robin Williams, you know, he was sober over 20 years.
Yes,
and
he was.
Went, you know, and Mr., you know, Phil Hoffman. But over the years, you think of back in, you know, further back, I mean, Elvis Presley, you know, I mean, you talk Cass Elliott, you talk about John Belushi, you talk about, you know, I mean, John Candy, I mean,
that's right.
You know, and recently Mr. Gandolfini, I mean, you know, nobody put on their death certificate that they ate themselves to death or whatever.
Yep.
But at the same time, and see, these are just a few, just a handful of people that we hear about because they're famous, you know what I mean? But God, I mean, there's got to be thousands and thousands and thousands of people dying from this condition all the time.
Oh, my God,
you know, and, you know, it's diabetes, it's heart failure, it's cancer. I mean, it's you know, my dad, not long before he died, had a tube in his stomach for feeding because he had esophageal cancer from, I suppose, from drinking whiskey.
Well, right, yeah.
And he poured alcohol into the tube.
Oh, my God. I mean, you see that on movies. It's like, what the hell? Exactly. Wow.
You know, so anyway, but the thing is, what I'm about is I offer a 28-day face-to-face, one-on-one program for people who cannot get the help they need by any other means.
Yes.
Now, let me qualify that. They may be not able to stop their addiction, or they may have stopped one but have others that he can't stop.
Yeah.
Or they may not even have an addiction.
Yeah.
But they may be unhappy and they need to go, you know, do some deeper healing.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, any number of people come from all over the place. You know, take, for example, Harold was a fellow who, he's been clean for 14 years now, but he was teaching math at an all-girls private high school. Taking between 50 and 200 Vicodin every day.
Holy, how did he function? Oh, my God.
He was a big guy.
He was
a big guy,
huh?
But I'm telling you. He was smoking 3 packs of cigarettes.
Right,
he was taking antidepressants. He was drinking. Everything you can imagine.
Yeah.
And he had been to 12-step programs.
Right.
He had been to halfway houses. He had been to treatment centers. He had done everything you can imagine to try to overcome these things, and he couldn't get overcome them. He contacted me, and within 48 hours, he was off of all of it.
And
he hasn't had any of it since August of 2000.
Wow.
You know,
that's
great. I mean, but the thing is, he was willing to go deeper.
Right. That's right.
And another fellow was taken, he was actually at the Cedars-Sinai Weight Management Program.
Right. They got a good one over there.
Over 500 pounds.
Oh, God,
My associate went there to speak to the nurses and the dietitians in the event that they had somebody who wasn't, you know, being able to give what they needed from their program, and they referred him to me.
Yeah.
And Scott is now clean. He's lost all of his excess weight. His income has tripled. He contacted me recently. He said, "Roy," he said, "I owe you." He said, "I got a raise I just got to raise bigger than what I used to make. Anyway, so then another fellow, another example, just real recently, there was a fellow came to me about 11 years ago, lives in Connecticut, and he wasn't quite ready. He was sober in AA, but he wasn't quite ready to do the rest of the work. And he recently contacted me, and now 23 years sober.
Yeah.
He had become a therapist. He had become an ordained minister. Mm-hmm. He had a big job on Wall Street making lots of money, had all the toys and you can imagine, had gotten married, had adopted a little boy.
Wow. That's great.
And he was suffering from other addictions.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And he came out and got some help, and he's all set. And interestingly enough, mm-hmm. they went back for Christmas, and then right after the first of the year, his wife, even though she wasn't suffering from addictions, she had a lot of childhood pain.
Sure.
She wanted to come out and get some help, so they came back out for another 28-day program, and they're both doing great.
Yeah.
And so just, you know, we do whatever. Whatever a person is suffering from,
yes.
you know, because what I know, there's only really, you know, as far as I'm concerned, there's only one real problem a person can have.
Right.
There's lots and lots of symptoms, but the problem invariably comes from the sense of separation from God.
Yes.
The perception. You can't be separate.
Yes. Yeah.
You can't be separate, but you can perceive yourself to be separate.
Yes.
You think you are. You feel like you are. You know, for all intents and purposes, you are, even though you can't be.
Yes, yes. And like you said, you're not talking about the God up there with the clipboard taking notes. You're talking about, you know, just kind of a universal higher power.
No, we're talking about this sweet spirit that's in each person's heart.
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly, which we can all find and recapture. And,
yes, ma'am.
You know, we received a really interesting email. I've got my engineer and assistant here filtering through a lot of emails. And one popped up here that I would love to share with you if we could give it a shot. Would you mind?
Not at all.
All right. This is from Andy, and he emailed me here at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. He said, I'm 31 years old. Ever since I was a kid, I was verbally abused and criticized by my dad, who my other brother describes as a rageaholic. We could never do anything to please him. My brother left home early. He used to fight with him and became a rebel. I'm described as a people pleaser with low self-esteem, and I continue to get into relationships with women who have a lot of drama. Let's see. He says, I have panic attacks, and I occasionally drink vodka to manage my anxiety, but I don't think I'm an alcoholic. He says, I'm pretty unhappy. Can you give me some ideas about how I can change my life? Wow. All right. Thank you, Andy, for emailing us here. Hey, Roy, what would you say to Andy to help him out?
Well, I really appreciate your participating, Andy, and thank you for, you know, sharing that with us. I totally relate. I mean, I completely relate. I didn't relate to being an alcoholic.
Right.
You know, I totally did not relate. And I certainly knew I had panic attacks and terror, and my dad always criticized me.
Exactly.
Totally relate.
Yeah.
I left home when I was 14, so I guess I was more like his brother in that sense. you know, the thing is, we'd be happy to hear from you if you think you need my help. But the thing is, beyond that, you know, I would recommend you start doing some things. You know, we build self-esteem by doing esteemable actions.
Yes.
And so the thing is, there's a lot of things we can do to turn that around. And in my experience is this whole process that I'm about, in my life has really been about unlearning. See, I got many messages.
Right.
When I was a young boy,
about myself,
about God, about lots of things, and I had no filter, had no discerning capability, so I took it all on directly on, and based on the data we gather, which is mostly a lot of it's faulty.
That's right.
We formulate our core beliefs.
Sure.
And then, of course, based on our core beliefs, based on faulty data, we formulate our philosophy for living. That is, our way of navigating our way through this hostile world we perceive ourselves to be in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, you know, I know for me, it started when one of the doctors I was going to wanted me to learn how to meditate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and so that was one thing. Now, I teach people how to meditate myself, but there's a lot of good ways of meditating.
Sure.
There's a lot of ways you can learn, you know, the Transcendental Meditation is a good one, and of course, there are others. They have many studies and of the benefits that they derive, people have derived from their meditation. But you know, it's a process of you know, facing that pain down and facing that, you know, the low self-esteem. I only know what I could suggest is start taking better care of yourself. And
yes.
Because if you don't, no one else can.
That's exactly right. Take better care of yourself. And, you know, we're going to be giving out information at the end of the show here about how to get in touch with Roy. And people from all over the world come to see him here in the Los Angeles area, as we call it, and he's one of the best who's developed the Nelson Method. Thank you so much, Andy, by the way, for emailing us and having the courage to do so. God bless you, and get some support. Go to some support groups. Get, if you can, try to get some therapy. If you know, there are a lot of low cost, you know, clinics, especially, you know, all around the country.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find out about that. Or, of course, contact Roy, which we'll tell you about in just a minute.
Doctor, may I go forward with just one more thing for Andy, please?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
The thing is, if you start doing things that are good for you. In other words, if you started meditating, but let's say you eat on the run. Let's just say you start taking time for your meals.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of little things that don't seem like any big deal.
Yes.
You know, but the thing is, if you start treating yourself with care and with respect, you'll be absolutely amazed how you start to build that self-respect, that self-esteem.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Exactly.
And,
take time.
And, of course, there's other you know, therapy and close-uppers and different things we can do.
Yeah.
But, yeah,
but
totally.
You're right. You know, speaking about stepping, go take walks. Get out in nature, Andy.
Yeah,
get yourself going like half an hour a day. You don't have to kill yourself. A lot of people think they have to go to the gym and kill themselves. No, take a walk. Yeah. Eat well.
I walk.
Yeah.
I walk every day.
There you go.
You know, it's really important to my physical, emotional, mental, spiritual health. You know, it's just
sure is.
A good thing to do.
Yep, exactly. What I'd like you to do, and thanks again, Andy. Bless you. I'd like to just briefly, if you could, because just kind of mention the five pillars of transformation that you use in your Nelson Method. If you could just kind of briefly list them and just touch on each one a little bit. Just to give people a taste.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Well, what we're, you know, the main thing to begin with, what I do is, you know, we have to accept the real problem.
Yeah.
And the problem is deep within. You know, it's deep within the psyche, in the soul, in the heart, in the subconscious mind, if you will.
Yeah.
And that's where it has to be overcome. So if we think the addiction is the problem, we probably won't overcome it, because you can fight the addiction forever and never beat it.
That's right. It's not that thing. It's not that alcohol thing. It's not that, you know.
Yeah, it's because otherwise it'll...
True.
And the thing is, because the other part is like trying to keep a dozen beach balls underwater. You get one under control, three or four more popped up to the surface.
Yes.
Many people, so they go on a diet, lose weight, and they start shopping, or they start, you know, getting involved with unhealthy relationships, whatever, you know. So, I mean, accepting of the problem as it really is. So I spend time connecting with people so that they can start to feel safe enough to start seeing some things about themselves and about their lives and the circumstances and people and stuff that they couldn't otherwise, see.
Yeah.
And then we start doing the discovery work, and that's where we you know, we start to realize, the process of discovery.
Right.
And then, of course, once we realize that we have a problem and it's big enough that we need a spiritual solution, then is when we can actually claim the recovery. We basically,
yes,
we make this decision to go to this sweet spirit, mm-hmm, and then we basically, and then after that we do the excavation, the excavation of what I call the soul sickness.
Mm, I like that.
And, mm. Yeah, and the excavation we do, it's a process, and then of course then we basically go into the expansive living.
Yes.
You know, I mean, you get a really big life when you start feeling better and better and better about yourself.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
So,
and those are the steps. Yeah.
A brief overview, if
yeah,
you will.
Sure, exactly. And, you know, it, as you say in the end, you'll finally have the opportunity to live as the authentic, peaceful, and purposeful person you are destined to be. And
absolutely,
your light will be an inspiration to others seeking freedom. And that's what's so beautiful about it, too, is when you discover the truth about yourself and start to open up and really make that transformation, you really are a model to other people. They say, hey, wow, how'd you get so healthy? What are you doing? You know,
right,
what are you doing that I've missed? And, you know, in your Nelson method, you know, it really can make a difference in folks' lives. You have a great website, by the way, and your books are wonderful. We interviewed you earlier on your other Nelson Method book, you know, a couple of months ago or so. How can folks find out more about you, Roy, and your center, and also pick up your books to, you know,
okay,
help themselves?
Well, thank you. Yes.
Yeah.
The website is roynelsonhealing.com.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And on there you can order the book, Love Notes from Hell. There's also an addictive personality quiz on there. It's mm-hmm, roynelsonhealing.com/quiz.
Mm-hmm.
Would be another nice thing a person could do.
Yep.
And you can reach us by phone at 800-609-4061, mm-hmm, day or night. And yeah, so you know, we'd love to hear from you, and our staff is standing by to hear from you, and be happy to do anything we can do for you. Really appreciate you.
Well, I know you've helped hundreds of people, thousands of people through your journey as well, and you know, they fully, as we say, recovered and are living happy and peaceful lives. So
yeah.
God bless you, Roy.
May I say one more thing about the website now? I just
sure,
want to share with in the book and
yeah,
on the website, there are a few people who have shared their personal experiences,
yes,
with
sir,
us. And
yeah,
so, and I've spoken of some of these today, but I offer complete privacy.
Yes.
That means that
that's right,
nobody will ever know that you got help unless
that's
you unless you tell them, because we
right,
we offer, you know, for people who need privacy and need
yep,
complete
yep,
you know,
confidentiality.
Nobody
yes, knows.
And the people you see on the website or the people you see in the book, these are people who wanted to be a part of the
right,
outreach
right,
and have volunteered to offer their testimonials.
That's a great
so
idea.
So we just want to make that clear.
Sure, that's a great idea to do that. Thank you so much again for being on the show. You're the best, Roy. You're awesome, and I love your books. And thank God for you. I mean, you inspire so many people and have helped them through their personal hell. And we really appreciate you. So thanks for being
thank
part
you,
of On the Couch here.
Thank you so much, and thank you for helping us save lives, because that's
yeah,
what we're really about. We're not about selling books. We're really about saving lives.
Well said, Roy. Bless
thanks,
you.
Thanks, Angel.
And thank you. We'll talk soon. All right. Once again, that's Roy Nelson, and he has founded the Nelson Method, which is an amazing, amazing helpful thing that, you know, so many people, So many people have really been helped by. So you could do the same. All right, this is Dr. Michelle, and you can stay on the couch if you like. More great shows here on LA Talk Radio coming up. Don't you go anywhere, everybody. Next week, we're going to have a fabulous guest who's a hypnotherapist, going to tell you how to heal yourself, do a little self-hypnosis, and get through a lot of your relationship problems, a lot of your pains, addictions as well, fears and phobias, stuff like that. So we're going to kind of walk you through it and maybe do a little hypnosis here on the air live. All right, as I always do, say, take care of yourself first, guys, and then you'll be great for others. Thanks for listening here, and have a great week. Bye-bye now.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.